Bibles this morning, go ahead and open up to Mark. Mark chapter 5 is where we're going to spend our time at this morning, Mark chapter 5. I'm sure this passage of Scripture is familiar, but praise God, it'd be nice to be able to open up the Bible anywhere and just say it's familiar, amen? For those of you that don't know who I am, my name is Tim Daly, and me and Brother Michael Hayes, we're members of Taze Valley Missionary Baptist Church. And he's a dear, dear friend of mine. I've seen the Lord do a very mighty miracle in that young man's life. And to see what God is continuing to do in his life really encourages me. And I thank God that the Lord has brought him here to do a good work for him. And this is my first time to be able to be here to see his church in person. I wanted to get here earlier, but just time and it wouldn't allow it. But I'm grateful to be here with you this morning. He is a great encouragement to me. Me and him have preached a lot together in the various ministries through the church, and we did a lot of nursing home ministry together. And he is just a great friend of mine, and it's an honor and a privilege to be here in his pulpit this morning. And if you're there in Mark chapter 5, say amen.
Amen.
There was a preacher one time that was teaching young children. He set them all down, and he was teaching on faith. And he started with asking him the children some questions. One of the questions he asked the children, he said, "If I sell everything that I have at my house, if I sell my house and I have a big yard sale and I sell everything," and he asked the children said, "Will that get me into heaven?" Well, all the children unanimously said, "No." Well, he said, "Well, what if I go to church and I read my Bible and I pray and I help out at the church, I mow the grass and things like that and keep everything nice and neat, would that get me into heaven?" All the children again said, "No." "Well, what if I take care of my family, I love my wife and love my kids and take care of them and make sure all their needs are met, will that get me into heaven?" And all the kids again said, "No." Well, the preacher says, "Well, what is it that will get me into heaven?" A little boy on the front row, he raised his hand and said, "You got to be dead first." And you know what? There really is a lot of truth to that. Because the Bible says that we have to die to ourselves first. Amen. And we have to take His righteousness upon us. But here in this passage of Scripture this morning, everything in this passage, it's one of my favorite passages of Scripture that deals with faith. Now, I don't know what you guys have been through this past year, but I'm looking forward to what God has in store for me and my family and for my ministry and everything in the coming year. I'm not looking back at the past and the things. I'm not dwelling upon those things that's happened this past year. I'm not on the past successes and everything. I'm not, you know, worried about all that stuff. I don't, you know, basing my new year upon my old year. I'm looking forward to what God has in store for me in this next coming year. And this passage of Scripture, I pray that it helps you in this message this morning. And if you're here this morning and you've been struggling in your faith, hopefully this passage of Scripture and the message this morning will help you and strengthen you and draw you closer unto the Lord. Now I'm going to begin reading here in verse 21 in chapter 5. If you're there again, say amen.
Amen.
"And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and he besought him greatly, saying, My daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live." In verse 24, "And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned himself about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched my clothes? Or who touched me? In verse 32, the Bible says, and he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing that was what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And I like what he says. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Let's pray. Lord, Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning, Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for your love for us. Lord, we just thank you so much for the precious gift that you've given us here at Christmas time. But Heavenly Father, Christmas is over now, and we're embarking upon this new year. And Heavenly Father, we just pray that you just strengthen us and lead us and guide us, whatever it is that you have in store for us, Heavenly Father, that we charge it by faith. And Heavenly Father, we just ask you just help each and every one here this morning. Lord, you know each and every heart that's here this morning. You know who exactly was going to show up this morning. And Lord, you gave me a message to give to them. And Lord, I just pray that you just hide me behind the cross. Lord, that I leave nothing left unsaid that you want me to say this morning. But most of all, Lord God, if there is someone in here this morning that doesn't have a personal relationship with you, Lord, I pray in and through your precious word that it will convict their heart. And they'll see their need of salvation, and they'll come this morning and receive you. Lord, Heavenly Father, we ask all these things in your dear and Son's precious name. Amen. Amen. This passage of Scripture is very near and dear to my heart. This passage of Scripture doesn't give us the name of this lady. And when I study the Bible and I come across things and passages like this and they don't give a name to people, sometimes I'll spend time in prayer and I'll ask the Lord to give me a name or a guide for that passage of Scripture. And here in this passage of Scripture, this lady is just introduced to us. But I've given a name to her. And I'm going to call this lady simply Miss Faith. Miss Faith. And the first thing I want you to notice about Miss Faith here this morning, I want you to notice her physical sufferings. Her physical sufferings. I want you to notice her situation that she was in. And the first thing about her situation is her physical sufferings. You look in verse 25 here in our passage this morning. Verse 25, the Bible says that, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood for 12 years. Now, as I studied the Scriptures and I studied about this, I believe this lady's issue of blood was that she was hemorrhaging and that she was losing blood that way. And she had had this ailment for many years. The Bible says for 12 years. And because of this type of situation that she had, the religious crowd of that day deemed her ceremonially unclean, which means she couldn't come to church and worship like we are here this morning. She wasn't allowed. They were afraid if she would touch someone or if somebody would touch her that they would get what she had. They were so fearful of it. Not only was she couldn't go to religious meetings, she was a religious outcast, she was also a social outcast. She wasn't able to gather around at Christmas time and with her family and her friends and fellowship with her family and friends because they were fearful of what she had. Because they had this frame of mind, the exact frame of mind that the religious people did. That if she would touch them or they would touch her, that maybe they would get what she had. And I tried to put myself in Miss Faith's shoes that, you know, her in this situation, she couldn't be around her family and friends. She couldn't go to worship freely like she would like to. She had to be all alone. And why that resonates with me in my life, there was a time in my life that before I became a Christian, before I gave my life to the Lord, I was in that situation. I didn't have a physical ailment, but I had a spiritual ailment. And I struggled with it for a very long time. And because of the situations that I was in and the poor decisions that I was making in my life, I was very desperate. I had come to the end of my rope, so to speak. I really lost the will and desire to wake up every morning. That was the situation that I was in. I was sitting in my driveway. It was on a Saturday night, Sunday morning. It was about 4 o'clock in the morning. And I was out with my friends. You know, I had friends. I did have friends. But poor decisions and the things that I was going through and everything, I thought that there's no way that they could relate to what I was going through. And I was out with them, and even though I was out with my friends and stuff, I was just felt like I was still all alone. And as I sat there in my driveway at 4 o'clock in the morning, I really don't even know what I prayed, but I was done. I was defeated. I didn't have a desire to wake up the next day. I wasn't yet to the point of like suicide thoughts or nothing like that, but I just lost the will and desire to go on. But as I sat there in my car, the Lord just softly just spoke to my heart and said, "Go to church." And at that time, I had absolutely no desire to be in church at all. But my parents at that time, they were going to Taze Valley Baptist. So I went in, got a few hours rest, got up, got cleaned up, and I went to church that morning. The whole way there, I felt so foolish. I thought, what in the world am I doing? I don't even like going to church. I don't like that kind of singing. It's just not me. It's not what I like. But I pressed on. I went in, and I didn't even go and sit with my parents. I didn't even want them to know I was there. I went in, and I sat almost on the back row. And I sat there, and I'm like, the devil just saying, "You're in the wrong place." And he would just beat me up one side and down the other. I'd just sit there like a knot on a log, and I was just so uncomfortable. I thought, "Lord, I'm in the wrong place. I need to get out of here." I come in there so disgusted, so heavy laden with everything that had been going on. And as they were singing, man, I just felt like I was just getting more agitated. I just couldn't wait for it to be over with. But then the pastor got up, and he started preaching. And the message that he preached that morning, it seemed like it was tailor-made for me. By the end of his message, I was on the edge of my seat, and I was hanging on every word that was coming out of his mouth. At that point, I felt like I was the only one in that congregation that morning. And I was so broken that when he gave the invitation, I couldn't even get out of my seat to go forward. And my pastor hardly ever does this. He does it every now and then. But on this particular morning, he said, "I feel that there is somebody in here that wants to be saved. You know, God can save you right where you're sitting." And he led me in a prayer, and I prayed that prayer sincerely. And immediately, when I received Jesus Christ as my Savior that morning, I felt a sense of purpose. I felt that sense of love and belonging. And I went out of that church completely changed. Miss Faith, her situation here this morning is very desperate. She had this issue of blood for 12 years. But not only did she have this issue of blood, that she had this physical sufferings, she also had scientific sufferings. The Bible says there in verse 26, that and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. She had scientific sufferings. She went to all the doctors, unsure, everyone that was around at that time. They all examined her. They all put her through all these tests and everything. And they probably said, some of them probably didn't even want to touch her in the first place. But those that probably would examine her said that there's nothing that we can do for you, Miss Faith. Some of them may have given her prescriptions and some drugs to be on, but nothing seemed to work. The Bible says that she had even spent all she had, which tells me of her financial sufferings. How many of you in here have ever had financial sufferings this morning? But the Bible also tells us here that she had critical sufferings because she was getting no better and that it was getting even worse. She wasn't able to buy food. She wasn't able to, you know, do those kind of things because she had no money. She probably had spent all that she had to try to figure out a cure for her. And I don't know where you've been at this past year or these past few years, or, you know, I don't know where you are in your faith this morning. But the Lord Jesus Christ has placed me here this morning to tell you, don't give up. Amen. Don't give up, because help is on the way. Help is on the way. And I so thank God that Miss Faith's situation didn't stay there. Amen. After her situation, I see her determination. Her situation led to this determination. Now, like I said, that Miss Faith, she wasn't able to go to church and to worship. But the fame and notoriety of Jesus Christ was really starting to grow during this time. He had been all over, healing people, touching them, feeding people. And his fame was really starting to grow. I picture in my mind that Miss Faith was wandering around, walking around one day, maybe just trying to find a little morsel of food if somebody would just give her a little something to eat. And the buzz of what was going on around was just, everybody was talking about it. And the one name Miss Faith kept hearing over and over was the name of Jesus. Amen. So while the people were probably in their little groups and stuff, Miss Faith, she probably just kind of got as close as she could to that group, and she was overhearing their conversation of the miracles and everything that Jesus Christ was doing. And there was a seed that got planted in her heart. Because what does the Bible say about faith? That faith cometh by what? Hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. She heard that name, Jesus, over and over and over again. And that precious seed got planted within her soul. And there is a determination that began to grow within her. She had a determination about her when she heard of the name of Jesus. That determination led her to say a prayer. She prayed a very bold prayer. And the Bible, turn over with me, if you will, real quick. I want you to see this in Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15 and 16. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15 and 16. The Bible says this. In verse 15, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Verse 16, Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You see, there's people nowadays that think that God is so far away that there's no way that He can help me in my situation. That my situation is too big. My situation cannot be helped. Well, I'm here to tell you this morning that I've seen some people that in very desperate situations shooting heroin up in their arms all day long. I've seen God take heroin addicts and drug addicts and alcoholics and turn their life completely around and put them in a ministry where they're serving God today. There's one thing that I can tell you this morning that I know for a fact, that there is nothing too hard for my God. Amen. Nothing. There is nothing too small that He can't take care of, and there is nothing too big that He can't take care of. Miss Faith had that determination within her heart, and she came boldly to the throne, and she determined in her heart that if she could just get to where He is, and she says, even if I could just touch the hem of His garment, I will be made whole. That was the faith that she had. And it's really sad nowadays, because I even have family members, you know, and I have friends that don't have that type of faith. I have church family that don't have that type of faith. They think their situation is just unique to them, which we all think that our situation is unique unto us, right? But there's really so many other people that are going through the same things we are. And why is it when we go through those situations, brother, the first thing we don't do is seek Him? Why is that? Because of our sinful nature. It goes against the grain, so to speak. When the Bible clearly tells us to seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. But how strong is your faith this morning? I pray that it's strong. But maybe it's not. Maybe your faith isn't as strong as it used to be because of situations maybe that's happened in your personal life or in your family's life. And you haven't really seen God just really do what you've been praying about. Maybe you've been praying for a situation for years and for maybe someone that's been lost and undone and you've not seen anything happen in their life. Well, let me encourage you this morning. Don't stop praying. Don't give up. Don't give in. Because I promise, help is on the way. Miss Faith had this determination welling up inside of her. She didn't let the people stop her. She didn't let resistance stop her, because the Bible told us that when Jesus came into that place, that there was many people that was enthronging Him, that were pressing on Him. They wanted Him to do things and help them. And I imagine Jesus right there in the middle of all these people. And Miss Faith, can you imagine her on the outside, very weak, very frail? She had this determination. She put her eyes on Jesus wherever He went, and she started to make her way through that crowd. Amen. She didn't let the people stop her. She made her way through that crowd, bumping people, people maybe knocking her down because she was so weak. I believe that once she made her way to Jesus, that she was down on all fours, maybe even doing a belly crawl. Because where does the Bible say that she touched? The hem of his clothes. And where is the hem at? At the bottom. Miss Faith didn't let people, the resistance, stop her. And she also didn't let the sickness stop her. She didn't let her restrictions hold her back. She could have said, no, I'm tired today. I'm going to sleep in today. She didn't allow those restrictions to hold her back. She also didn't let the religion stop her. Amen? Amen. The religion of that day said that she wasn't supposed to be in the crowd, that she wasn't supposed to go and try to touch someone. She didn't let that stop her. Amen? Amen. But also, Miss Faith, she didn't let her fear stop her. She didn't let the reality of her fear keep her from being healed. And that is one of the things that so many people will not trust in the Lord as their Savior, because they're afraid to lay it at His feet. Believe me, I've been there. I know that. I'm the man that I like to fix things. I'm a fixer-upper. When something goes wrong, I want to be the one that fixes it. I can't stand to see things, you know, in disarray or whatever. Or when a family member comes to me, or a friend, a coworker, they come to me with something, they seek guidance. Man, I want to fix whatever their situation is. But I know that I can't. I know only He can. And God, in and through me, sometimes will give me words of peace and comfort to give to them. Miss Faith had this awesome determination. And that determination, praise God, led to her transformation. It led to her transformation. Look in verse 29 with me, if you will, this morning. Back to our passage. The Bible says in verse 29, "And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague." Amen. Amen. Get this. Miss Faith, she finally gets into the center of that crowd where Jesus is. And Miss Faith, she reaches out by faith and she touches His garment. Faith reaches out and touches grace and mercy. And I so thank God that there was a time in my life that I did that. That morning that I just told you about, that I reached out by faith. And I said, God, I know I'm a sinner. And I know that I'm away from You. And by faith, I'm accepting You as my precious Savior. And you know what? Immediately, my sickness was cured. Amen. And I so thank God that salvation comes immediately. That God didn't say, you know, I'm going to put you on probation for a little while. You're going to have to get this out of your life first. You're going to have to clean this up first. You're going to have to stop doing this first. No. I so thank God that when I bowed my head and I asked Jesus to forgive me and I accepted Him by faith, that immediately my salvation was done. Amen. I'm so grateful for that. Miss Faith, her transformation came immediately. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:1, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." The Bible says that the just shall live by faith. The Bible even goes further to say that it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. But we see here in the life of Miss Faith, man, because she had her eyes and focused on Jesus Christ, she had that faith, she had that determination about her that changed her life forever. Changed her life forever. She was healed physically. She was healed socially. Amen? She was able to go to church now. She was able to go back to her family and her loved ones and love and hug on them and spend time with them and fellowship with them. But most importantly, she was healed spiritually. Because after her transformation, the last thing I see is her adoption. Her transformation led to an adoption. My brother and his wife, they are foster parents. And over the years, they've been able to adopt one of those children. And, you know, I really never thought about it, you know, before, until we went through the adoption process. And it's a lengthy thing. It takes a while sometimes. But there was a day that came that when they stood in that courtroom and the judge had these papers in front of him that were signed, and all he had to do was stamp them and say that this girl no longer has a past what she was, that she is now a new child. She has a new name now. She was given another name. She now bears the name Daily. And when Miss Faith placed her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, when she reached out by faith, she was given a new name. A name that is far beyond whatever I could give her. Because look in our last text there, in verse 31. Well, verse 34. Look in verse 34. And he said unto her, daughter. Daughter. My. Thy faith had made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. At that moment, she was adopted into the family. The Bible tells us this in Romans 8 and 15 through 17. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. If so, we be that suffer with Him, that we may also glorify together. When I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, I was adopted into the family. And there is nothing that can take me out of that family. Amen. When I became a child of God, I didn't know it all. I didn't have it all figured out then, but I thank God that I grew to know the knowledge, and I know that there's nothing, no nothing, that can separate me from the love of my Savior. And if you're here this morning, and you don't have that blessed assurance in your heart, I urge you this morning to search your heart. And it can happen immediately, just like it happened in Miss Faith's life. Yes, she came to Him with a physical need, but He took care of more than that. He is able to take care of us exceedingly and abundantly, more than we can ever ask or think. Amen.
Amen.
Miss Faith could have used a number of excuses on why not to go to Jesus that day. She could have said, well, I'm not important enough to ask Jesus for help. How many of you been there? Yeah. She could have said, well, he's already helping someone else. And he was. He was on his way to help someone else. She could have said, well, he's busy. I'll maybe try later. She even probably could have said, well, nothing else has worked. Why bother? She may have even could have said, she could have said, why should I go to him as my last resort? Maybe she was too, she could have been too ashamed to go to Jesus as her last resort. Well, you know what? He didn't care. He just simply says, come.
Amen.
Come. She could have used so many different excuses, but I thank God she didn't. What's your excuse this morning? What's been holding you back from doing the Lord's will in your life? Only you know, and only He knows. I've come here this morning to tell you, don't give up. Help is on the way. How strong is your faith this morning? Maybe you've been lacking in your faith. Maybe you've been seeking what God wants you to do for Him. Well, the only way that He's going to reveal that to you is if you spend time talking to Him, reading His Word, going to church, spend time telling others about Him.
Amen.
He will reveal what His specific plan of purpose is for your life. I know He will. But do you have that determination in you like Miss Faith did? I pray that in and through this message this morning that something has resonated with your heart. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, and I'll say this in closing, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Maybe the reason why your faith is so weak this morning because you haven't been diligently seeking His face and spending time in His Word. I don't know. But with every head bowed in here this morning and every eye closed, let me ask this question. The most important question that you'll ever answer in your life. Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt this morning that if something would happen to you this morning, you'd be on your way home, somebody crossed the dotted line and hit you head on and you take your last breath? I don't know. But can you say for a surety this morning that if something would happen to you, that you know you'd be absent from the body, present with the Lord? And if that's you this morning, you know beyond a shadow of a doubt, just raise your hand and say, yes, preacher, I know that I'm saved. Just testify of that this morning. Thank you. You may put them down. Maybe you're in here this morning and you couldn't say that for a surety. But the Lord has spoke to your heart through this message this morning. And you want to know for sure. Maybe there is a seed that has been planted within you this morning and it's starting to grow and it's starting to cultivate. Hey, that's the Holy Spirit talking to you. And you want to know this morning that if you would take your last breath, you would go to heaven. And you want to be saved. Would you simply raise your hand and say, yes, preacher, pray for me. I want to be saved. Is there anyone? Maybe there's somebody that's on your heart this morning that is a family member, a neighbor, a coworker, somebody that you know that's just not saved, that they've been on your heart, that you've been praying for them for a while. Maybe you've been praying for them for years. And you want to lift their name unto the Lord right now. Just simply raise your hand and say, I have someone on my heart right now, Pastor. I have someone on my heart, Preacher. Please pray for them. My hand, both of my hands are up. Maybe you're in a situation this morning where your faith has really been tested. Whatever that situation is, I know He can take care of that. But you've been hesitant to bring it to Him. Why not drop that pride this morning and just come up here to the old altar and lay it at His feet as I pray. Lord Heavenly Father, You saw the hands that were raised, Lord, that know for sure that they are Your children. But Heavenly Father, there may have been someone here this morning. I didn't see a hand raised, but Lord, You only know their hearts. That's not really for sure. And Lord, I pray that right now You're dealing with their heart. Lord, that they'll just slip out and come forward, Lord. And let Me lead them and show them how they can know for sure and how they can be saved this morning. Lord, You saw the many hands that were raised that have loved ones, family members, or that are lost. Lord, they've been praying for them. And Heavenly Father, we know that You hear our prayer. And dear God, I pray that even through their witness, because Lord, I know how hard it is to witness to family. But Lord, I pray that they stay true unto You. But Lord, I pray that You send that special someone in their life, Lord, that will resonate with them and that will lead them to You. Lord, there's nothing too big that You can't handle. And Lord, we're so grateful to know that truth. And Lord, I just ask that You just be with the folks that are here this morning. Lord, You love them. And Lord, You take care of them. For all these things we do pray, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.